When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Blush. I'm your host, Eva. Sorry, Sam just stumbled her way into the studio literally over the lights. I wish you guys could see. Anyway, welcome back to another episode of Blush. It's the second Tuesday of the month, which means we are doing an Am I the Asshole episode, which has quickly become your guys' favorite kind of episode. So I love that for us. And let's get into it. Sam, are you going to stay here all episode long? Oh, she's so cute. She's so cute. Oh, God. If you guys could see her face right now, if you guys could see this bitch's fucking face, she's so cute. Anyway, I decided to leave the door open so she can come and go as she pleases. And I guess she is coming. So that's so disturbing. Okay, let's get into it. Am I the asshole for telling my wife I'm sick of her restrictive diet and I want her to loosen up and eat a fucking burger now and then? Probably, but let's get into it. So about a year ago, it became obvious my wife was having a hard time managing her weight. She's not a very disciplined person in her life, and I love her in spite of that. What a hero. I mean, Malala, you should give up your Nobel Prize and hand it to this humanitarian. Oh, okay. I hate him already. Let's keep going, though. But what started as a minor weight problem, she's 5 feet tall and was 145 pounds, became a massive problem, 175 pounds. I encouraged her to start dieting and exercising because it would help out our marriage in the long run. No, I hate him. I hate him. She wasn't sure what I meant, and I explained that while I loved her, I was having a hard time in the bedroom because of her massive weight gain. This man really says what's on his mind, which is fascinating. Okay. She cried about it. I wonder why. But eventually understood and started dieting. Well, she's down to 155 and it's not the best, but it's an improvement and I'm proud of her. This guy's disgusting. Disgusting. The problem is she doesn't seem to get moderation. If I want to get burgers for dinner, she just meekly says she'll have a salad or something without a bun, etc., etc. I tell her to relax and just enjoy a burger once in a while, and she tells me that she doesn't want to undo all her hard work. I keep telling her that one burger every now and then won't undo anything, but she claims the burgers takes up a lot of room in her calorie allotment. I told her that she shouldn't be so strict and count calories to maintain a healthy weight. Most of the women I know are mindful, and if they know they're going to a steakhouse or a burger place for dinner, they just don't eat all day, and that she should learn to do that or nibble on carrots or whatever, but that she needs to learn to unwind and have some fun. She yelled at me and told me I can either have it one way or another, have a skinny hot wife like you want, or have a fat cow who eats burgers and fries. And I told her that I want both and that it's hot when a skinny girl knows moderation and can eat a burger but still fit into her jeans the next day. Now she's not talking to me and I'm just fucking annoyed. I don't get why this is hard. Am I the ass? I'm sorry. We have to cancel the whole podcast because I have to go murder someone. What the fuck is wrong with this person? Yes, you're the asshole. Yes, you are the asshole. You are, quite honestly, maybe the biggest asshole I've ever even heard of. I cannot believe the words that come out of your mouth. Like, I actually, I'm fascinated. Like, one thing I feel like I constantly talk about is how, like, pain and shame cause all these problems in our lives. Not for this motherfucker. Like, where is his pain and shame? Why has he not experienced more pain and shame? Like, he has no shame. Like, this is great. Sam's getting up and leaving. She's like, never mind, I did not sign up for this shit. Why are you screaming? I am so fucking incensed. And this is the thing with men. It's like, oh, you have to be skinny. Well, not the thing with men. The thing with, like, how men treat women. Some men, not all men. Truly, truly, truly not all men. But for a lot of men, it's like they want girls who are skinny, but don't try to be skinny. They want a girl who's hot, but who's putting no effort into being hot. They want a girl who's smart, but not smarter than you. They want a girl who's successful, but not more successful than you. She better have her own life, but be available whenever you want her. It's like, make up your fucking mind. No, you don't just get to have everything. Like, that's not how life works, okay? You were just on this woman's ass night and day, in the rudest way humanly conceivable, telling her that she should lose weight. She starts to lose weight. You're saying she hasn't lost enough weight and she can't eat a burger with you. How the fuck does her eating or not eating a burger even affect your life? Like, that's what I don't even understand. It's not like she's, like, refusing to go to meals with you. She's still going and she's ordering the healthy thing. This woman, we need to rescue her. We need to rescue this woman. Like, guys, put the podcast on pause. Stop listening. Turn it off. Let's assemble a crew. We'll make our own kind of, like, Navy SEAL Team 6 type vibe. We'll do, like, a Blush Seals crew, and we will break into their home and we will rescue this woman out of this marriage. This is disgusting. Also, I can't believe that when he was telling her that she should lose weight, that it wasn't like, hey, you're at a weight where you are at risk for a lot of health complications that could be life-threatening. No, no, no. It's, I can't get it up. Take some fucking Viagra, okay? No one wants your limp-ass dick anyway. I bet that he's fugly. I bet that this is a disgusting, sweaty, hairy, micro penis, stinky balls kind of dude who's out here telling this woman, this poor angel of a woman, I hope she loses weight. I hope that she feels so confident and good about herself. And I hope that when she's at her hottest she has ever been, she slaps him with divorce papers. Of course, none of these things will happen because I actually am going to murder him before any of these things happen. But I fucking hate him. This is the definition of an asshole. Also, another thing I want to point out, now that I'm done being ragey, when he said she's not a very disciplined person in her life, that to me just screams repressed part. That to me screams that this man has at some point in childhood received some messaging about discipline and maybe, like, been shamed for not being disciplined enough or something to that effect. And now he has this weird fixation with discipline, and that's why he's pointing out her discipline. And also, I think really, truly what's happening here is he is triggered because she is now more disciplined than him. And that's what's bothering him. You know what this reminds me of? When I was dating the comedian, we were in Portugal together. And when I was dating the comedian, he would always make comments about how skinny I was and how I was, like, so much hotter and so much thinner than any girl he had ever dated. And, like, it was, you could tell he had a lot of pride around dating. I mean, not like you could tell, he would full on say it. Like, one of the first times we really spent time together, we were hanging out with a couple of his friends, and literally we were just sitting at the bar having a four-person conversation about how hot I was and how the comedian had never landed a girl even remotely this hot before he was famous. kind of an awkward conversation. It made me feel incredible about myself. But I'm just saying, he would constantly talk about how hot I was, and a lot of that was how thin I was, right? But then anytime we were like doing something or traveling or wherever, somewhere, and he like wanted to get like a pastry or a dessert or just something, you know, like fun and indulgent, and I wouldn't, he would literally get like mad at me. And I was like, okay, you can't have it both ways. Like, either you love how hot and thin I am, or you want me to eat pastries, but like it's the two aren't gonna work in conjunction. That's just not how the world works. Like, it reminds me of people in politics who want more things from the government but also want the taxes to go down. Like, that's just not how the world works, okay? Like, you're gonna have to understand how things work. Things cost things, okay? Things work in trade-offs. I'm so mad. I'm so fucking mad. Yes, you are the asshole. Yes, you are unequivocally the asshole. This is, do you guys think Trump wrote this in? Oh no, of course not, because his wife is thin. But like, does it not kind of give Trump energy? You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to get political. It's not about his politics, it's about him as a person. Like, you can hate someone for multiple reasons. Okay, let's move on. I'm sorry if you can hear cars honking. It's because the door is kind of cracked open because Sam wants to run in and out of the room. Am I the asshole for not allowing my roommates to take big sniffs of the food I make? Sniff, as in with your nose. Okay. I've recently been experimenting with new recipes as a university student to improve my cooking skills. As a result, some of my roommates have been quite interested in my food and took it upon themselves to take giant sniffs of it. They would put their nose 1 to 2 centimeters away and smell. I was a little taken aback by this and told them not to do that. From then on, they have politely asked to smell my food, which I have said no to. What? They respond by saying I was too imperial and that I should let them smell my food the way they had before. Am I the asshole for not letting them freely smell my food from such a close distance? Okay, my first question is, what the fuck does imperial mean? Because I don't understand what it would mean in this context. I guess now that I'm thinking about it, the only imperial that I know is the imperial system, like the measuring system that we use in the US, as opposed to the metric system, right? It's imperial. That's what we use in the US. It's full garbage. So I'm guessing the word means bad. It means shitty. It means idiotic. Is that what imperial means? Okay. I'm truly at a loss for words, which doesn't happen often to me. This is kind of giving, do you remember in Friends when there was this episode where it was a Phoebe was dating that cop and he took the boys out on a stakeout one night and Joey had gotten this sandwich and a car backfired and they thought it was a gunshot and it appeared as though Joey was leaping in front of Ross to like save his life and Chandler was all upset because he's like, what the fuck? Why would you not save my life? And later Joey tells Chandler, he's like, no, I wasn't trying to like save Ross's life. What happened was my sandwich was next to Ross. I was trying to save my sandwich. Wait, is that? Am I thinking of the right episode? And then someone smelled. Yes. This is that sandwich. It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter. There was an episode of Friends where Joey had a sandwich and someone smelled his sandwich and he's like, no, you can't smell my sandwich. And they're like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, half of the taste is in the smell. So when you smell my food, you're taking some of the taste away. This is so fucking weird that I actually don't know what to think. The only thing I can think of is it the fact that they're smelling the food or the fact that they're so close to the food? Because if it's the fact that they're so close to the food, I completely understand. Yeah, that's totally. But if it's just that they're smelling the food, why do you have such a... Also, like, who are these people who were like constantly trying to smell food? Although I do that, but I do that with non-vegan things. So when Ozzy, for example, my partner Ozzy, will eat something that's like really like not vegan and something I haven't had for a while, sometimes I'm like, ooh, can I smell it? And you know what? Even though we're fucking, I still ask him if I can smell it. I don't just shove my face into his food and smell it. Now that I'm playing it out, it is kind of weird of them to just like run around sniffing your food, especially if they're getting that close to it. Fair, fair, fair. That is weird. Listen, if you don't want someone to smell your food, you're allowed to not want someone to smell your food. But what I think is really, really important here is you have to be clear on what exactly the issue is, and you have to communicate it in that way. Because the way that you've written it, it sounds like you are very precious about people smelling food, which, like, quite frankly, maybe just like a round of therapy would help. I don't know. But I can only hope and assume that what your actual issue isn't so much with people smelling the food. It's with them being so close to the food. So you really have to be clear on what the issue is. You know, I have this friend, Amy, who married this guy, Carl, a few years ago, and many, many years before they were even engaged, like kind of early into them dating, Carl cheated on Amy, like when he was out one night, out drinking, went home with some girl, cheated, whatever. She eventually found out and they worked past it and they're now married. This all happened like 9 years ago. To this day, every time Carl goes out, Amy gets upset. And they also have dogs, like multiple dogs. I don't know how many dogs, but like for sure more than one dog. And Carl always thinks that the reason that Amy gets upset if he's out without her is because of the dogs. And so he will try to do all these things. Like last weekend, he was going out for a boys' night. And so he, like right before he left, took the dogs out for a walk and then hired a dog walker to come while he was out to like really be able to tide the dogs over to the morning, because that's what he thinks the issue is. But the issue isn't the fucking dogs. The issue is that Amy has never gotten over when he cheated on her a million years ago. And so every time he's out drinking without her, she spirals and she's like, what if he cheats on me again? But and he thinks it's the dogs, and so he's trying to do all of these things to make her feel better, and she doesn't feel better because he's not actually addressing the real issue. But the reason that he isn't addressing the real issue is because he doesn't even know what the real issue is, because Amy's never communicated that. Because in part, I think Amy didn't even realize that. It wasn't until last weekend where we were really talking about it, and I was like, okay, so like what's the actual issue? Because she will bring up the dogs a lot, and I'm like, okay, he walked the dogs, he hired a dog walker, what else is the issue then? And she's like, well, but like blah blah. And I was like, okay, so that's the issue is the cheating thing that you clearly haven't gotten over. It's not about the dogs. Like, we need to not make things, we need to be clear about what the issue is, otherwise it's never gonna get solved. I also have this thing with a different friend who is married to this guy, Max. And she would always complain about how he leaves the kitchen cabinet doors open, which, like, what man doesn't? Like, clearly the gene for closing kitchen cabinet doors lives on the X chromosome, because no men know how to do it. Literally, it's something that just dumbfounds them. Like, they think that they can go in, grab something out of a cabinet, and just leave. Like, what do they think is gonna happen? Like, the cabinet door closes itself? Do they think it's a rebounding situation, or is this like easy access? Like, you just think, like, oh, okay, like, I guess I'll just like be able to grab something easier the next time. Like, well, you think it looks better with the cabinet door open? Just like, walk me through your thought process, because I'm yet to meet a man who knows how to close a cabinet door. Like, anyway, moving right along. So she would always complain about how he always leaves the cabinet doors open. And he has started being really, really cognizant of the cabinet door thing. And then the other day, she's like, oh my God, like, he like cut some lemons and like left the lemon rinds out on the counter, which is actually something that I do a lot, and Ozzy gets mad at me about it. He's like, it's so gross. I'm like, oh, okay, like, learn how to shut a fucking cabinet. I'm just kidding. He's actually pretty good about that stuff, but I think it's because Ozzy isn't between us. Like, if you somehow figure out who he is, do not pass this on to him. But he's not, like, the most manly man. Like, he is in some ways. Like, he is, like, in a protective kind of way. Like, he one time when we were in Australia, we were staying at a friend's place, and we heard something at the door, and it was scary. Like, it really did sound like someone was breaking in. And I have never seen a human being move so fast. It was like he had like jet fuel inside of him. The way that this man leapt for the front door to make sure there was no danger, I was like, holy shit, I really am safe in his hands. Good God. And he always sleeps on the side of the bed that's closer to the door. And one time he told me that that's why. He's like, I have to be closer to the door in case there's danger. And I was like, okay, big macho man. but like, wow, like, he really, like, okay, so in those ways he is manly and like he's strong and stuff. But he's just not, like, he's not very, I can't explain it. He has, like, a lot of feminine energy. Like, he has, like, a lot of ease and flow and not a lot of, like, like, that type of shit. So, he doesn't have a lot of these kind of, like, negative traits that a lot of men have. Where was I going with this? Oh, lemons. Of course. Yeah. So I often leave my lemon carcasses out, and Ozzy doesn't like it. So I get it. Anyway, so Max had left his lemon carcasses out, and my friend is like, oh my God, like, he's out here doing this again, like, blah, blah, blah. And when she brought it up to Max, she's like, you know, you always do this shit. He's like, what are you talking about? I always do this shit. And she's like, you know, with the cabinet doors and the this and that. He's like, I've been so cognizant of the cabinet doors. And the thing is, it was never about the cabinet doors. It was more that Sylvia felt like Max wasn't respectful of her and her time by not putting things back where they're supposed to be. It was like the implication that someone else is going to come and clean up after me. That's what was bothering Sylvia. It was never about the cabinet doors, but because she never was very clear about what exactly the problem was, he corrected what she said the problem was. You know what I mean? So you really, it's so important if something's bothering you to be really clear on what the actual problem is and communicate it. Otherwise, it's not going to get fixed. Like, people aren't fucking mind readers. So in this scenario, this person needs to get clear as to whether she's bothered by this smelling as a concept, or if she's bothered by the proximity of their faces to her food, which is two different things. But I don't know, it's fucking weird. I'm not going to lie to you. Am I the asshole for telling my girlfriend that she's no fun anymore? What is wrong with men today? That's what I want to know. Yes, that sounds pretty asshole-ish, but let's get into it. My girlfriend and I have been dating for about 2 years, and when we originally started dating, she had a typical lifestyle. a typical lifestyle, okay? Drinks on the weekends, smoked a little weed now and then, and ate out a few times a week. Okay, fair. That's probably a typical lifestyle. About a year ago, she was diagnosed with PCOS and was devastated by the diagnosis. Okay, it's not like that big of a deal, but sure. It's just like a lot of people have PCOS. Like, it's manageable, but like, okay. She began looking for ways to treat it, There doesn't seem to be any cures, only treatments. So she went off the deep end, is what he meant to say, I think, by cutting out all alcohol, no more weed, no sugar, low carb diet, very strict. And she started working out, mostly HIIT and yoga 4 times a week. Her ovaries were looking better from the latest scan. This reminds me, I need to go in for an ovary scan, because the last time I did one, I had like 14 million cysts. The doctor was like, it's really cysty. Like, those are just a lot. There's one that's shockingly large. And she was like, we have to keep an eye on it. And I was like, yes, let's keep an eye on it. And then I never went again. So that's fun for me. Dr. Dahlia, if you're listening, I need to come in. Okay. Her ovaries were looking better from the latest scan, and so she's convinced she can heal herself by fixing up her diet. Problem is, she's taking it way too far. She won't allow herself a cheat day, and she brings her own food even to friends' house. She won't drink even a little at a friend's wedding, and it's annoying because she has started preaching health every time someone asks about her changes. She's always telling me about the latest diet and exercise things she found out about that she thinks will help her PCOS. We can't go out for dinner anymore because we either go to the same healthy food spot we've been going to all year, or she wants to cook at home. She doesn't want to go to the bar anymore or really go out or party anymore, and that was a big thing for us before her diagnosis. I got annoyed one day when she wouldn't eat what my parents were cooking when we were visiting, and was bringing her own lunch, and told her she wasn't fun anymore.
She was so chill before, and how she has gotten so serious about everything now.
Instead of getting on your girlfriend's ass, maybe like learn how to type. She got upset and yelled at me for not caring if she can have children or not, and stormed out. Am I the asshole? Okay. I think you're way, 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 way less of an asshole than the first submission here. And like, in general, I think there's a point to be made here. Like, it's about balance, right? Like, this girl probably needs more balance. She's being really rigid. She's letting it affect her life. I get all of these things. So it's not necessarily the premise of it. It's the execution of it that's the problem. You can't, like, anytime you tell someone that they're no fun anymore, it's a pretty assholish thing to say, and they're not going to receive it well, like, unequivocally. Would you like hearing that? No, like, that's just not the right way to approach these things. And also, I just want to say, if you're someone who's never suffered from some kind of chronic health condition, or like, you know, had serious GI issues, hormonal issues, skin issues, even, like, whatever it may be, you've never suffered from some kind of chronic health situation, then other people's lifestyle adaptations are going to seem severe and intense and strict and over the top or whatever to you. But if you've ever suffered from some kind of condition, then you understand how far you will go to no longer feel like that. And what may seem like crazy and restrictive to other people is actually just like healthy choices that you're making so that you can live your best life. So I just want to say, if you've never suffered, I don't think you can judge people who are going through these things. Now,
I do think this is a lot better than the burger guy, because this is actually affecting your life. Like, the burger guy, that wasn't affecting his life. Like, she's going out to eat and she's just ordering her own thing. Whereas, like, she won't even go to a restaurant, and her lifestyle has changed quite tremendously. Now, here's how I would approach communicating something like this to someone who's in this type of situation. I would say something to the effect of like, hey, I'm so proud of you and everything that you've done. I mean, like, PCOS is something that it's even incredibly hard to get diagnosed to begin with. But once you get the diagnosis, that's pretty much it. Your doctor is going to be like, hey, here's a pill that you can take that's going to mask some of the symptoms and cause other issues. You know what I mean? Like, there isn't a ton of mainstream support out there. And the people who really have their PCOS symptoms in remission are the ones who've carved out a lifestyle that is effective for them. And it seems like she's done that. And that's nothing to scoff at. Like, that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big accomplishment. So I would definitely start by praising that, being like, wow, I'm so proud of you. I'm so impressed. Like, you've made all of these healthy changes in your life. And look, it's really working for you. Like, that's really amazing. And I worry that being so rigid with your physical health is in a way going to backfire, because the mental and emotional toll that that can take and the way that that can just stress you out is, the physical effects of that stress are far worse than just doing the thing, right? Like, one burger isn't gonna kill you, but stressing out about one burger could kill you. Or like, just sitting and like depriving yourself and watching other people eat and not eating the thing and not participating. Like, community is really one of the most important things, and not participating in community because you're so rigid with your health and wellness lifestyle is not going to lead to you being healthier in any sort of way, especially because your mindset, your happiness levels, your mood, your stress levels are all going to be affected, and those have physical consequences also. So I would approach it in that kind of way, in a really caring kind of way. And the other thing I want to say here is, sometimes we outgrow each other. And when people go on a health and wellness journey, sometimes they kind of outgrow some of their other friends. And I don't love this, because I think that most people could stand to benefit from having a lot more moderation. That being said, like, I think that this happens also with growing up. It sounds like this guy is very much still in a wanting to go out and party kind of phase. And it sounds like this girl might really kind of be done with that. And I don't know, like, it's just something to explore if they're actually really still compatible or not. Am I the asshole for making my girlfriend uncomfortable with my diet? Do you notice a bit of a theme here today? I'm fairly into health and wellness, and a large part of that is eating the right amount of calories overall and protein intake. I find tracking calories to be tedious and never was a big foodie, so as a result, I've lapsed into eating the same foods almost daily, and that works for me even if it's boring. My diet on a usual day consists of oatmeal with fruits and nuts, eggs, protein shakes, and vegetables. My girlfriend says she feels uncomfortable by how healthy I eat. She's very healthy herself, but a foodie and tends to cook and eat a lot more elaborate meals than I do. She says my daily intake makes her feel like I'm secretly judging her for eating less healthy than I am. I'm not, because what works, works. What? I think he means he's not judging her. He's doing this because it works. If she's able to eat what she likes and still manage to feel okay and look great, then by all means. Same goes for me. If I'm able to meet my goals and not get tired of what may seem like a boring diet, then I also think that it's fine. The issue is, she disagrees and asks me to start eating her cooking slash following her diet. I don't mind doing so once or twice a week, but doing that every day would be detrimental to my goals, so I declined. This made her angry, and she said I was an asshole for being inconsiderate. Am I the asshole? No. Not at all. This is kind of the opposite of all of these other situations. Now, would I want to date someone who behaves like this? No, I wouldn't. As someone who used to have an eating disorder, I would find that incredibly triggering if someone is like this obsessed with their food intake for what appears to be physical goals, like aesthetic goals, you know? It's not a trait that I would find attractive or likable or desirable or anything in a man. That's just me. That being said, just because I wouldn't be attracted to you doesn't mean that you're an asshole. In fact, the opposite is probably true. If I'm attracted to you, it's probably a sign that you're a piece of shit. No, I'm just kidding. But in all seriousness, I think when people think that they're being judged by someone else, what's actually happening is there's a part of them that is subconsciously judging themselves, and they're projecting their own judging onto other people. And I think that's exactly what's happening here. And the other thing, like more specifically, is whenever someone makes a healthy change in their life, it often triggers the other people in their lives. And I think the reason that this happens is because we then have to examine our own relationship with that thing, right? This happens with alcohol all the time. Actually, Mel Robbins talks about this, or she's told this story about how when her husband stopped drinking, like the first few days, she's like, oh my God, amazing. I'm so happy for you that you're not drinking. And then like the third day, she's like, okay, you want to have a glass of wine with me? Okay, you want to have a glass of wine with me? And like she would constantly ask him, and he's like, no, I told you, like, I'm not drinking right now or whatever. And she was really triggered by it. And he had to be like, hey, if you're so triggered by me not drinking, then maybe you need to examine your own relationship with alcohol. And I think this happens all the time, right? Like people start making these healthy changes in their lives, and we then are like, oh my God, like, they're no fun anymore. And they're like this and they're like that. This happened big time with Kyle Richards on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills this past season. So between the seasons, she like lost a little bit of weight and started becoming like obsessed with fitness and stuff. And all season long, she stopped drinking. And all season long, everyone was talking about how she's not drinking, she's working out so much, and she's so different. And her and Dorit's relationship like really fell apart, and all of these changes happen. And it's just kind of what happens when people make changes in their lives. And specifically when the change is something that we as a society deem to be a positive thing, it makes us confront our own shit. It's something I have a tremendous amount of insecurity around, because I feel like every time I implement a new healthy habit, it makes me less relatable. Like I kind of miss the days when I was like eating bacon and eating candy and like not exercising and sleeping in and like smoking pot all the time, because I feel like it was more relatable to people. Like it made them feel safer. Whereas now it's like I go to bed early, I leave my phone plugged out in the living room, like I meditate multiple times a day, I eat really clean, I'm vegan, I like barely drink. I do still use cannabis in bed to help me fall asleep, but I don't like get high with people. Like just every time I make a new healthy change, like I work out now, I understand that I'm becoming less and less and less relatable, and I hate that. But it's just such a real thing. No, I don't think you're being an asshole at all. I think she needs to look internally as to why she's judging herself by comparison. That being said, it does sound like this person's like a little bit rigid, but I get it. And like if food isn't important to you, it's not important to you. And I think that we have such a hyperfixation with food as a society. And I think it's because I think it's because a lot of us are depressed. Like, I think depression rates are way, way, way higher than we realize. And eating is such an instant dopamine boost. And so we just kind of become obsessed with it. And the more that there are these like processed, highly palatable foods that then cause these intense dopamine spikes, like we become kind of addicted to it, you know? But historically, like we weren't fixated with food. Like we weren't like, and I'm very much a part of that too. Like I can use food so much to like numb things, or especially like, you know, my depression's constantly in flux and there are times where I'm more depressed and I see how much like from the moment I wake up, I'm not even hungry. I'm just excited to get to the point in the day where I'm going to sit down and eat because it's going to be my like dopamine boost, you know? So yeah, no, I don't think you're the asshole. I think that this girl is going to have to examine her situation and her relationship and also just be like, hey, do I want someone who's going to enjoy my food with me? Like, that's also not a crazy thing to want someone who's going to eat your cooking. And maybe like a good compromise would be that she could find ways to make food that would meet his macro goals. God, so douchey. Like the way like, thinking of a guy who counts calories and counts his protein intake and like measures his macros, like the way that that makes me like, it's beyond the ick. It's like I'm drying up. Like it's like all of the moisture is being sucked out of my body. Like I find it so unattractive. Like, ugh. Anyway, but maybe she could find ways to make foods that meet his macro goals, but that are also like a little bit more fun and exciting, right? Like that there is a compromise here. Am I the asshole for telling my mom she shouldn't talk about food like that? Again, have you noticed a theme here? I, 37 female, was having breakfast with my mom the other day. She was buttering a piece of toast and said, you know, this is so fattening, and then started talking about how her friend Leslie puts so much butter in things. I said to my mom, can you not talk about food like that? And she snapped at me and is now mad at me. Am I the asshole? No. No, you're not the asshole, but you could have worded it better. I understand what you're saying here. I think that type of like, oh, this is so fattening and like, ooh, this person eats so much of this. Like, yeah, it's really problematic languaging that can really be harmful, especially for our subconscious minds, especially like I'd be really upset if someone spoke like that around a child. You are an adult, so it's a little bit different, but people are never going to be receptive to something that you point out if you do it in an accusatory kind of way. I think that's a lot of the problem that we've had since 2020 with conversations around racism. I don't think that the vast majority of people are ever intentionally racist. Like, I don't think anyone ever intends to be racist, but all of us have internalized racism and all of us say racist shit. The other day I said something that was so offensive. And I didn't mean it offensively. I said, I'm not going to repeat it. Well, okay, I'll say it. I said that like I lived in like the ghetto part of Tribeca, and like we don't say ghetto anymore. Like that's offensive now. But like I sure as shit wasn't trying to be offensive. I sure as shit wasn't trying to be racist. And thank God the person that I said it to was able to be like, hey, actually, like, I'm sure you meant nothing bad by that, but like, we're not saying that anymore. Like, that's an offensive thing to say. And I was like, oh, fuck, I'm so sorry. You know, like, these things happen. We all fuck up. We all say things in the wrong way. But when we call each other out in these extreme ways, and not to say that what this person, by the way, this was a listener submitted one. It's not from Reddit. I just want to say, but I'm not saying that what this listener did was on par with calling someone racist. Obviously, they're wildly different things. I'm just analogizing because I really think it's really important if you notice that someone's doing something that's problematic or offensive or could cause like mental health issues to someone else or could cause someone to be upset, it is really important to call them on it. But it's equally as important to why did I create this situation for myself? Sorry, guys, I took my earring out of my ear and now the back of the earring is lost. Okay. Whatever. It's really, really like, where was I? How did this start before the earring back got lost? Okay. When someone does or says something that is offensive in some kind of way or has the potential to be harmful or hurtful to someone, it is our responsibility to call them out on it, but it's also equally as important to do so in a gentle and a loving and a kind way and to explain to them why what they said was problematic rather than like snapping at them or just like calling them a name or labeling them something, because it's not going to sink in otherwise. Like, it's not going to land. They're not going to get it. Like, your mom's probably like, what the fuck? Like, what, like, why should I not talk about food like that? But if you stopped and you were like, oh yeah, no, totally, like, you know, butter has a lot of saturated fat and it can really, you know, clog arteries and cause health problems, and in excess it would cause people to gain weight. That being said, I've noticed that I feel a lot better about myself and better about my relationship with food when I don't use languaging like that around food. And so I was wondering if maybe we could try not doing that together. You know what I mean? Something like that. So she actually understands what the problem is. Because not everyone's as aware, especially like the older generation. We can't just like constantly harp on them and be like, oh, that's a racist, or like, that's so problematic, that's fat phobic, that's this, that's that. They don't appreciate that, and they don't learn this way, and they're never going to change this way. But if we can say, you know, my mom, oof, am I going to throw her under the bus again this week? I think I might have to. My mom once said something about lesbians that I was like, Mom, you can't say that. And she was like, what? And I was like, no. And she was basically like, oh, you know, like, gay guys are so, this was years ago, by the way, and my mom's like very Middle Eastern and, you know, just like comes from a different background and is also a lot older. But she was like, you know, gay guys are so like lovely and sweet and whatever, but like, all, every lesbian I've ever met is like, so like stern and serious and like not so like gregarious and charming and stuff. And I was like, Mom, you can't just say like lesbians are bitches. Like, that's not, like, that's crazy. And she's like, well, no, that's not what I said. I was like, okay, I understand that that's not what you said, but do you understand as a woman how much shit we have to deal with as women just for being women? And she's like, yeah, of course. And I was like, okay, now obviously you don't have the experience of being on LGBTQ+, but you can probably surmise how hard that is, how much adversity you have to face, right? And she's like, yes. And I was like, now why as a woman would you add to that by saying something like that? Okay, sure, maybe like the 1.5 lesbians that you've met were bitches, but that doesn't mean that all of them are. Would you like it if people said that about Iranian people after they met me? Like, oh, that girl's such a cunt, so all Iranian people are cunts? No, most Iranian people are lovely. It's just me who's a cunt. And she's like, okay, that's an example that actually makes perfect sense to me. Guess what? This woman has not once said anything negative about lesbians at all, because I said it in a way that she understood. So we really have to be careful about communicating these things. Well, listen, I get it, and you're right, and these things are important. Okay. Am I the asshole for not wanting cake for my birthday? For context,
I, 25 female, have been fighting sugar addiction and food issues for a while now, and I've been trying to limit the amount of sweets I eat for my health and to lose some weight. I live by myself where I eat healthy 90% of the time, and I visit my family only on weekends or holidays. I don't visit too often because my parents' pantry is always stocked with sweets, making it easy to binge. And to top it off, my mom makes it a point to either make or buy cake or pie almost every time I visit. Now my birthday is coming up, and I recently spoke with her about it and expressly told her I do not want cake for my birthday. And before anyone says, oh, it's fine, just have a bite and throw away the rest, I can't do that because I know that I don't have willpower to just eat one bite. I'll be at my parents' for the whole weekend, so if I eat one piece, I'll end up going back for another and another and another. My mom knows about my struggles with food. She also has a sweet tooth and can eat an entire cake in one sitting, but she runs a lot and is super active, so she's always been skinny while I've struggled with my weight my whole life. However, when I told her I don't want cake, she said we can't not have cake because she already invited my stepsister and her boyfriend for my birthday, and everyone's going to be expecting cake. If it was someone else's birthday, I'd understand that I would be being unreasonable, but this is my birthday, and so it should be about what I want, not everyone else expects. But when I told her that, she wouldn't listen and kept insisting on cake. Now I'm not even sure if I want to go for the weekend, since I'm worried about putting myself back in an environment that's going to ruin the progress and cause me to binge, and I'm upset that my mom is ignoring my wishes about how I want to spend my birthday. Reddit, am I the asshole? No, you're definitely not an asshole. I do worry that we are teetering on some disordered eating here, just based on the fact that, like, you're so terrified of eating an entire cake if you have a bite of cake. That to me doesn't sound like someone who has, like, a good relationship with food. And, like, yes, sugar addiction is a very real thing, but this is going a little bit beyond that. Now, that being said, sugar addiction is a very real thing. And I think I told this story on the podcast, but maybe like a month or two ago, Ozzy and I went over to our neighbor's house and we had some vegan desserts. They had picked up like some amazing vegan desserts from a local place that were so fucking good. Oh my God, so good. But I felt so weird the next day. Like, I literally had like anxiety and I'd not had a sip of alcohol. Like, I was speedy and anxious and just like didn't feel good, and my tummy didn't feel great, and it like really affected me in a very dramatic way where I was like, I don't think I will ever do this again. Like, it's honestly not worth it. And I think it's fine to be like, no, I don't want this. Like, when I went home for Christmas, my parents have this friend, this couple who's at their house a lot. And I call my parents every single night when I walk Sam. And so this couple will often be hanging out with my parents when I call. So I've talked to them a lot, but I hadn't met them. And so before I came back for Christmas, by the way, I'm like literally feeling around in the boucle chair trying to find this earring back, but whatever. Before I went back for Christmas, I like was on the phone with them one night and I was like, oh, I get back on the 21st. Do you guys want to come by that night for dinner? And they were like, yeah, amazing. So like the week before, my mom calls me and she's like, hey, do you prefer red velvet cake or chocolate? And I was like, why? And she's like, well, they found this like vegan bakery, so they were going to go get a cake and bring it over. And I was like, okay, tell them not to, because like I'm not going to eat a cake. Like, I just am not. Like, I'm not going to have cake. Like, I just don't want to have that kind of sugar. It's not for my good gut health. It's not good for my nervous system. And at the time, I was like early into dealing with Sam's health stuff, and I really could not handle any sort of like break in my routine. Like, it was all hands on deck. Like, the amount of stress that I was experiencing because of Sam's health issues were through the roof. Like, I was really hanging on by a thread as a human being. I was like, I cannot add sugar into the mix. No.
And so she's like, okay, well, just like pick one. Like, I want to tell them something. And I was like, tell them Hiva won't eat cake. Therefore, if you're getting it for her sake, don't get it. And she's like, well, I can't say that. That's rude. I was like, do you think it's less rude for them to have gone out of their way and picked up a cake for me and I don't even have a bite of it? Do you not think that's more rude, Mom? And she's like, well, okay, when you put it like that. And so that ended up happening, right? Like, I think it's fine to have boundaries. And I also, like, I think there are some people who are listening to this who are going to be like, oh my God, like, that's so disordered, blah, blah, blah. And the thing is, like, even though I do think this person sounds like she's being way too restrictive, on the other hand of it is, why did eating junk become so normalized that when people choose to just eat real foods, we're the crazy ones? Like, that's not like you should, like, same thing with alcohol, right? And I don't not drink, right? Like, I will drink here and there. And I do think that there's some value in the social connection that the lubrication from alcohol can provide. I really do. Guys, it's just the earring chronicles today. That being said, why did drinking become the norm and people who don't drink have to explain themselves? Like, that's nuts. Okay. All that being said, I think there's an easy compromise here, and that would be to get some kind of dessert, some kind of cake that doesn't have refined sugar in it. Like, that's totally doable. But yeah, I do think this person is a little bit too rigid, but it's the same theme. When you start making healthy changes, like, people react. It's just what happens. Okay, let's see where we're at time-wise and if there is room for more or not. Okay, well, in good news, I found my earring back. I'm also not going to do the rest of these today because I think there's like too much danger of running over. So we're just going to cut it here and do a foods that make you blush segment. Now, if it's your first time listening, we like to wrap up every episode by doing a foods that make you blush segment where I talk about foods that have nutritional properties that would make them be supportive in whatever we talked about that episode, right? Because I really believe in a holistic approach to wellness, which includes what we ingest, which includes the nutrients that we eat, and what we eat affects our moods and how we show up in life, yada, 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 right? You get the gist. Now, usually I like to list a bunch of foods that you can eat that have the nutrients that would help. But today I thought I'd do something different because so many of the submissions were around food and dietary restrictions and how those things affect our relationships with people. I want to plug my brownie recipe, my toasted coconut brownie recipe. Although if you don't like coconut, you don't have to do the toasted coconut topping. You can just top it with something else. But what I really like about this recipe is, number one, it has no sugar. The sweetness comes only from fruit. Number two, it is crazy high in fiber, which is so good for literally everything. It's good for your gut health. It's good for your bowel regularity. It's good for your nervous system. It's good for your skin. It's good for your hormone health. It's good. PCOS girl should fucking eat these brownies. Literally everyone involved in today's episode should be eating these brownies. Plus, it has nutrients that are really, really supportive of your nervous system and your mood. And like, it'll really fucking keep you regular, if you know what I mean. These brownies, and they're so fucking good. It's probably the recipe of mine that's actually been like people have made the most. And I get DMs every single day from people telling me how much they love the brownies. Things like, wow, you've set the bar for desserts. I will never make another brownie recipe. They're so fucking good. And they're incredibly healthy. So for all the people who are trying to lose weight, the brownies would do it. For the hormone girl, brownies would do it. Everyone here, they're high in protein. I mean, this brownie recipe would solve all of these problems in all of the submissions from this week. Okay. Now we just have gratefuls and then we sign off. So we like to end every episode with me listing three things that I'm grateful for. And the reason that I do this is because gratitude is scientifically proven to make you a happier, more optimistic person. And who doesn't want to be happier? Hello. So I do invite you, as I list three things that I'm grateful for you to list three things that you're grateful for. But I want to challenge you, instead of just listing the three things that come to your mind, I want you to really scan through your day or scan through your week since we last chatted and think, what three things am I really grateful for right now? So I will start. I say I will start like as though there is another option. Like someone's going to teleport through time and space and contribute their thing. The fuck is wrong with me? Like, what? See, this is what happens. I think about this a lot. Like, I feel like I used to be smarter than I am now. And I wonder if it's the... I used to think it was like partying and doing drugs and stuff when I was younger. But now I really think it was the eating disorder. I think the eating disorder destroyed my brain. Like, I really do. Because that's when I started to really notice a difference in my intellect. Anyway, we're going to let that one go for now. Okay. I am grateful... I did Korean melons last week, although I continue to be grateful for the Korean melons. I am grateful. Oh my God. I'm grateful for the blush challenge. I am having so many breakthroughs and just like massive transformations via the challenge. It is incredible. It is the best challenge, the best self-improvement tool or thing that I've done, like maybe ever. And I've done a lot of shit, you guys. Like I'm doing the challenge right alongside you guys, and it is if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's the Blush Spring Forward Challenge. It's available within the Blush Academy. We are about like halfway through, but you can really take it at your own pace if you want to just like jump in and start it. If you're in the Blush Academy and you haven't started the challenge, like go fucking do it. Trust me, go fucking do it. I am grateful... Is it annoying when I click with my tongue? It's one of my favorite sounds. Wow, I really have to pee. Okay, let me hurry. I am grateful that... Oh, I sat next to this girl at Solid Core today, and I've seen her at Solid Core before. It was her 300th class, so she's there like all the fucking time. But I'd never spoken to her, and she just like seemed really cool, and we had a nice conversation today, so I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful. This is so dumb. And I can't even think my mind is starting to go blank because I have to pee so badly. I am grateful. I don't know. I'm grateful I haven't peed my fucking pants. Okay. Like that's it. I'm grateful that I haven't peed my pants yet. No, I'm grateful for you guys. Honestly, like this is so fun. Like I love that I got to do this. I love that we get to connect like this. And I love that there's an audience that gives a shit about all this stuff that I can't shut the fuck up about. Like, I'm so happy that all of this research that I would be doing independently anyway gets to go somewhere and land on people's ears who care, who want to improve themselves, who want to have better lives. So yeah, that's that on that. Okay, I think that's it. Let's wrap it up here. I literally, these chairs are white and I will pee in them if I don't wrap it up now. I love you guys so much. If you took something from this episode, please rate, review, subscribe, share. You know the drill. Seriously, it does help the show so much and it means so much to me. Okay. Oh my God, has my nipple been out this entire, was my nipple, oh God, you guys. Ugh. I might have to use an emoji to cover my nipple all episode long. Okay. Anyway, love you guys. The chaos resumes. Ooh, I have a really fun episode planned for next week. Okay, we will talk next week. Love ya. Bye.